1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we got a flashback by request coming up. And don't forget the Phil Hendry Show third or fourth webcast. It might be our fourth webcast coming up on November the 11th, Friday, November the 11th. And that will be 1 week before we actually start shooting our first episode of Teachers, which is the new name of the show. And along that subject on NBC, it'll be coming up in the mid-season. Now, on that subject, if you go to our webpage, www.philhendryshow.com, and you'll notice that each week we alternate between Bud's Babe of the Week and Chris Norton's Babe of the Week. Bud's Babe of the Week, for instance, last week, Susan Westenhover, I think is her name, a nice-looking woman, a lesbian. Now,
what's wrong with that?
I don't even want to talk to you about it because I'm going to talk about something else, okay? So just shut up. Chris Norton's Babe this week is featured, and the reason why we have up Sarah Shahi is because she is going to be a part of our cast on Teachers, and I just suggest you mosey right on over to our website right now and get a look, my brothers. And talked to Sarah last week, and I mean this, really nice lady, really funny, really smart. And I don't know how to say this, but without the makeup, you actually look better, Sarah. And you look pretty damn good in this photograph. I mean, I'm not, you know, don't get me wrong. So she is in our cast. And I think what we'll do with Chris Norton's Babe of the Week, if Chris doesn't mind, is we'll just feature a female member of the cast, you know, every other week until the show goes on the air. And that would mean three of them. So also, if you go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, our affiliate of the week this week is the Big Talker 106.3 and 103.9 Topsail Beach, North Carolina. And by the way, Psycho is our DVD pick of the week and the best line from the movie. And in there is as Norman Bates points to the bathroom. All right. So like I said, we are going to have our flashback request coming up. And let's see, in the National Football League this past weekend, just to sort of take a peek at what happened, because I watched a couple of the games, and boy, did the Eagles reek. Good God Almighty. You know, I'm not saying that Limbaugh was right, but you know what, McNabb? You do stink, man. Seriously. And I don't, you know, when you got one of the top receivers in the league, I mean, what is it? Or maybe Andy Reid needs to hang it up or lose some weight, or I don't know what the story is. And the Bengals kick ass. But just taking a look at what happened over the weekend. Where are the scores, man? Standings, schedules. Here we go. Scores. This past weekend, I noticed that the Bears won. And by the way, Harry went over to that place in Toluca Lake or wherever. What's it called? The Tinhorn Flats?
Tinhorn Flats.
Tinhorn Flats is the Bears bar in Toluca Lake. And he gives it an A-plus rating. Apparently, it was everything it was cracked up to be and more. Now, if you've got a place that you hang out, we need a Jets bar so bad we can taste it, because Newman right now, he's at his wit's end. He's having to sit there, and he's watching it on TV, and his wife is there knitting, and his son is going, you know, and he's playing with a little truck, but it's not the same thing. Okay, so Dallas over Arizona, Chicago and OT over the Detroit Lions, Houston won, who cares? Look at Cincy, man, is Green Bay done or what? More to the point, is Mike Sherman done? St. Louis, I don't care. Carolina, boy, the Vikings. Nice job there, Tice. Way to go. Oakland beat Tennessee. Well, they got to win one. The Giants, who's their quarterback now? It ain't that Eli kid, is it? Is it? It's Eli? Who'd they have in there ahead of him? Who did they have in there beheading him? Anyway, Eli Manning and the New York Giants. San Diego over KC. So how about those Bolts? Miami beat New Orleans. Yes, I heard all about Hurricane Katrina. What's that got to do with anything, man? You lose. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles just, like I said, suck. And what happened to Tampa Bay, man? I thought they had the best record in the NFC. Oh, I'm sorry. And finally, New England over Buff. So things are shaking out pretty good there in the NFL. And we went over to the Trojan game on Saturday. SC 623, Washington State 6. That game was done in the first half. It kind of a cool weekend there at the Coliseum to watch the Trojans, because it was a homecoming. And so they had all these, like, the SC band's pretty good band. They had the band members from, I don't know, like, it was the alumni band. So they had like a 900-piece band out there and singing and playing and people frolicking and everyone with their V sign and me still running around trying to find a program. And I stood in line at the ATM machine there, and it was like a mile long. And look, when you go to a college game, what you're going to be going to see, obviously, are lots of people who are in college. And that doesn't necessarily mean they know how to use an ATM. So as I was standing there, and there's like the chick, you know, the co-ed there with her SC shirt going, "Oh, you mean I have it upside down?" Uh-huh. And the dude behind me is going, "God, I hate stupid people." So that was pretty cool. But we split the game in the third quarter. We went down, saw Nick, went over to La Barca, had a little more of that Mexicani food, really good stuff. And then we just bugged. Maria wanted to go to a masquerade party on Saturday night. She said, "Honey, do you mind if I go to a costume party?" I go, "No, as long as I don't have to go with you." She goes, "No, you don't. I'm going to go with my girlfriends." I go, "Great." That was fantastic. I go to costume parties every other year. If you go to my website, you'll see a picture of me and Maria when we went to a costume party for a charity fundraiser, and I'm dressed like some dandy English sea captain, and she is in some, Marie Antoinette costume. God, was I uncomfortable. How do you make polite conversation when you're walking around with a three-cornered hat? "Hi, how you doing?" "Yeah." "So, aren't you... Oh, that's a nice costume." And the kids went out trick-or-treating tonight, man, my two youngest ones. And I said, "That's great." I said, "Make sure you get lots of apples with suspicious-looking marks in them. And be sure to get some of them Rice Krispie squares, especially if they're discolored. Bring them home." All right, coming up is our flashback by request. 1-800-449-8686. John Travolta's in the news. Not that we're going to tell you anything about it. Some other cat he's in trouble. The White House apparently, you know, I don't want to say anything, but there's a guy that they got nominated for the Supreme Court, and he's an Italian. And apparently CNN and CBS called him some WAP. Wow, how about that? Dan Rather got on the news. Oh, he's been fired? Well, whoever they replaced him with said, "The White House today nominated a WAP by the name of," and it just caused a firestorm of criticism. I don't know why. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Chris, yeah?
Mr. Aaron, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I went over to your website and I seen the picture of Sarah Shahi, right?
Yeah, I hope that's how you pronounce her last name.
Well, I'm pretty sure, but I don't know if you're familiar. She's on a show called L Word, and that's about lesbians.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Are you saying now that you can turn one, or what are you saying?
What do you mean I can turn one?
Well, you were giving, I thought I heard you giving crap to Bud Dignan about turning lesbos.
And I never used that word, and I never said, he puts pictures of, how do you know she's a lesbian? She ain't a lesbian.
Well, I've seen her on L Word, and she has lip locked at least one other woman that I've seen. It was Cecil, but.
Well, okay, that's great, man. Look, I got to get back to the planet Earth here, dude, okay?
Well, I mean, so I'm just saying, are you saying, what are you saying?
Get out of here, you freak. Go sell some freaking teddy bears. Time now for our flashback. This is Clara Bingham. Randy requests this one. He says, "Phil, the night I first stumbled on your show, you did this woman who was saying that verbally abusing children is good for them. Even when I wasn't sure if it was real or not, I still couldn't help but laugh my ass off. Thanks, Randy." It was Clara Bingham talking about kids.
I would just like to tell your guest on the show that as a child growing up, I was overweight. And when people made fun of me, I never turned to my mother and let her know what was going on. I turned to food for more comfort instead. So
right.
What you're doing, it's not working. That's just going to make the poor child want to eat more.
It is working, because what we're doing now is we're monitoring that child for a week. And if the child, I'm sure in your case, when you got insulted and you kept it inside, you started to blimp out a little bit within, say, 7 to 10 days.
Not blimp out. I mean, I just ate like I always did. I would ask for more food.
Right.
I would ask for more sweets. My parents indulged me. They never thought a problem was going on. They just thought I had a big appetite. They just thought I was
Well, did they think it was natural for a girl to be 800 pounds?
I wasn't 800 pounds.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Well, how much did you weigh? Did your parents pay attention to your weight?
They did. My mom even took me to the doctors to find out maybe I had an overactive thyroid.
Okay, now let me ask something,
you know?
Raquel. And that's a beautiful name, by the way.
Thank you.
You're telling me that your mother would stick plate after plate of flapjacks in front of you and then take you to the doctor and ask him why you were getting fat?
Oh, God.
She would just, my mother would just
Can we not play the laugh track anymore, please? I'm sorry, Raquel, but can we not play the laugh track?
My mother was a home woman. She stayed at home. She took care of us kids.
I'm sorry, you said she was a homemaker?
A homemaker. She cooked us all our meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She took care of us. She gave us our vegetables. She gave us our meat. She gave us our cereal, whatever. We weren't people to be eating out or having lots of sweets. But
well,
if we asked for more food, she gave it to us. She wasn't going to keep it.
But what I'm saying is the woman's got eyes in her head. She can see her lovely daughter, who she gave a lovely name to, and she can see the child turning into a human ball.
She had two thin girls and the chunky girl. I was just known as the big bone girl. She could stand to lose some weight, but she's healthy. She's okay. It'll all come off when she grows up. That's what the doctor
I'm telling you right now, those are blind parents that were blind to your pain, didn't see the pain that you were living in. Every day you'd go to school and you'd hear this as you waddled on campus. And it would have been better if you'd had if Miss Bingham had been there for you, I would have said something like, hey, butter girl, hey, you know, and then you'd get all upset. And then I would monitor.
Well, I've had worse. To me, the name calling wasn't as bad as that. I had boys pretend they were in an earthquake area when I walked down the aisle of where my desk was.
Right.
I've had it pretty bad.
Exactly.
But see, at least I was a tough cookie. It didn't get to me like it did.
What do you mean it didn't get to you? You said that you packed on more weight after you heard it.
Yeah, because I would eat more. I would eat
exactly.
More.
Now, you're a child of mine. The last thing I'm going to do is get the box of dehydrated buttered mashed potatoes like your mother did.
She never made dehydrated potatoes.
Well, you told me
her
she did.
Home cooking, no, her home cooking was good. She cooked good food for us. It
when,
wasn't
when,
that
when you would walk down the hall, did you ever hear this? That kind of thing? Because I heard that as a kid.
Oh, what's that sound?
Well, they would make it sound like, you know, big giant steps were cracking the pavement, you know. That
no.
kind of okay.
I mean, name calling, or they would say, look at the hippo run, or here comes the hippo.
I'd love to get your mother's.
And when I saw pictures of me when I was younger, I wasn't even really that fat.
I
began to lose some weight, but I wasn't that fat. But it did hurt, the name calling. But it doesn't work because I never told my mother.
I mean, what do you mean it doesn't? What do you mean it wasn't that bad, but it did hurt? You're a walking contradiction, girlfriend.
No, no. It
Look,
hurt me.
Would it have helped if you'd have heard?
After so long of it being done to me, it didn't bother me anymore. That's what I'm trying to get
I'd
at.
Love to get your mother's phone number and call her up. And what's your mother's first name?
My mother's first name is Elisa.
And say, what a beautiful name. And I would say, Elisa, darling, just what time did you get out of bed this morning that you didn't see your daughter turning into a freaking cannonball?
What I'm trying to say is it took care of itself on its own eventually. Because all it did to me when I was younger, in junior high school,
I just ate
more and more and got fatter.
Yeah, well,
when I got into high school, I was already tired of hearing all the names. Oh, yeah, big fun, make fun of me, whatever. And I alone started to lose the weight because, hey, I saw, you know, I started getting attracted to boys, and I wanted to look good. And on my own,
here's one of the reasons why it starts to lose, the world ran out of food.
Okay, what's with the moo?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. How does that feel when I do that? I want to know, Raquel.
Now, as an adult,
you hear
it doesn't
this.
Bug me. If I was, you know, in middle school, it would have probably hurt. Yeah.
When you hear this, do you get hungry? Are you a little bit of bacon sandwich, maybe?
No, well, see, now I'm a trim adult. Now I keep myself...
Yeah, but when you hear this, don't you want to have to slap a couple of pieces of bacon on some wheat toast? Maybe have a little mayonnaise?
I don't eat ham. I don't eat pork products.
That's not ham. It's bacon.
It's from
it's
a pig.
Part of the pig.
It's a pig.
I don't understand.
What? Are you nuts? Ham, bacon, it's all a pig.
I'm talking about this. Ain't that what that is?
Ain't that what that is? How come they can't make bacon out of beef? Why's it got to be pork? Anyway, there's what's-her-face, Clara Bingham. And that's a flashback by request from Randy. Thanks, Randy. If you guys have a flashback request of a bit from the show that you want to hear repeated, some phone call, some bit, whatever the hell, just email it to us at phs@philhendryshow.com. That's phs@philhendryshow.com. I'm sure she's got just at the ready a foghorn, a cow, sizzling, you know, and a laugh track. I remember that show because Clara, she really felt she was helping the kids. As soon as they came waddling onto campus, here comes the laugh track, and then monitor their reaction. for like a week. What if the kid brought a gun to school? What's to monitor? Especially if he points it at you. Okay, that's kind of a nasty-ass freaking thing to think, isn't it? All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Good to be with you guys this evening. And I want to also mention that our website is a kind of a subscription deal, man. So if you want to hear something on the show, that's cool. If you want to get into our archives and listen to this stuff, well, then you have to get a $6.95 backstage pass. And you just go to our website, you get that $6.95 backstage pass, and guess how much it is?
$6.95.
That's right. And you can do that with the plastic, see? So what you do is you just, boom, baby, stick it on the wax. Everything's good. You can listen to all that crap. And if you don't want to re-up, you don't have to. Now, what I would do, though, is to save yourself a little bit of bread, get that six-month subscription. But, hey, if you want to pay by the month, that's all right, too. And I hope everything is going good for you guys when it comes to that, hey, I think I'll subscribe and just keep it on my plastic, because Earthlink and me, man, I don't know what I did wrong, but every month there's some new, we're sorry, but we don't seem to have a record of the and then you got to email, what are you talking about, man? Oh, we're sorry, your email, we didn't understand that. Could you please fill out the form? I've given you like three different credit card numbers. Now, I like Earthlink service. That's my ISP, but I'll tell you this much. I don't want to have to worry every month that suddenly they lost the number on the car. You know, I got some problems these days, man. I don't mind telling you. You know what happened was I got a P.O. box, and then because I got the P.O. box, and then I realized I didn't want to have the P.O. box, I started to kind of forward the mail back to my house. Now I lose a freaking car bill, and guess what? It's on my damn credit. But that's not the worst of it. You remember this apartment house I told you that was trying to bill me for that last month of rent? Well, those slobs put that on my credit. Oh, my God, you people are going to pay. So I got this lawyer now, and guess what? We're going to take him into court. Of course, I thought it was going to be the big civil court. My lawyer says, no, Phil, it's small claims court. Well, isn't that like Perry Mason? No. You can't even bring an attorney with you. But the fact is, not only am I not going to pay him this rent they tell me I owe him, I want my freaking credit cleaned up, Jack. You know how long it took me to get my ass together, if you'll pardon my French? I mean, I had a bad, bad history, but I finally cleaned it all up, started paying my bills on time, paid off one of those guys to go into the, you know, the credit reporting agencies and clean all that stuff up. So everything was just squeaky ass clean. And I come along and I run into these slobs. See, these management companies, man, yeah, most of the people at rent don't have enough bread to really challenge it. So they'll send you a bill and say, you owe us this much. No, I don't. Yes, you do. And if you don't pay it, we're going to go to a credit reporting agency. We've got a collection agency on you, right? And meanwhile, the guy is there. Now, he doesn't have the kind of time or the resources to battle this thing. He said, what are you talking about, man? You didn't send me any bill. Yes, we did. Okay, now it's on your credit, dude. So now this guy decides, well, I better pay it, and then I got to work and clean my credit up. Not me, man. I ain't going to do that. I'll see them in hell or know the reason why. You remember that line, I'll see you in hell, will you money, at the end of Unforgiven? Well, that's me. Laying on the floor, I'm Gene Hackman with a shotgun in my face. There's no way that these guys, just because they're really big and they manage a lot of property, this is a, I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's some kind of a game. I think it's some kind of a scam. Honest to God. If you're a big, huge management company and you're dealing with all kinds of tenants and you don't do your job as well as you should, and so somebody winds up getting screwed. Is that guy going to throw that dude off the roof? Oh, it's a dummy. I just saw some guy throw a 49er dummy off the roof of a building. And you don't pay the kind of, you know, you don't come up with the cash that they want you to come up with because they didn't, you know, they're not doing their bookkeeping properly. They don't have somebody going over the thing with a fine-tooth comb and a freaking Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass. You're the guy that winds up getting stuck with it. Where's my security deposit? Oh, you don't get that back. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. In fact, you owe us $1,000. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Well, I tell you what, why don't you take us to court? They're the guys with the big freaking lawyers, and there are no lawyers that represent tenants. You want to know why? Because there ain't any money in it, man. You guys know who you are. Believe me when I'm done with you. I'll stick this grenade down your throat and pull the pin. Phil Henry Show will be right back here on your radio.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
They got this list of the celebrities that make the most amount of money when they're dead. when they're dead. Now, I know that this is significant in some area of the fiscal world. It's obviously having to do with the estate or the earnings of the estate and the people who are the inheritors of that, of those monies. But it still makes a great news story when you say, Elvis Presley's still making money and he's dead. Presley has been dead since 1977. He's made $45 million last year. And guess who's second? Charlie Brown is second. Charles Schulz. See, a lot of people thought the guy's name was Charlie Brown and the creator was Charles Schulz. The other way around. Charlie Brown created Charles Schulz. Charles Schulz didn't exist. That little bald-headed kid made him. Anyway, Charles Schulz, who died in the year 2000, made $35 million over the past year. And when you read a story like this, most people say, boy, that sure is screwed. Well, why? Well, look at a dead guy making that kind of money. That's just not fair. Well, how about that? Look at this. John Lennon, he's been dead 25 years, earned $22 million. Can you believe that? It's not right that a dead guy is more interesting than me. Yep. And then they have a guy here by the name of Andy Warhol. Remember him? Well, he croaked in 1987. Didn't keep him from making $16 million last year. See, obviously, it's the artwork. And then guess who's like fifth? Dr. Seuss. Theodore Geisel. Boy, that guy was always pretty weird. I didn't like him when I was a kid. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. You know, they talk about how he made those kids' books. When I was a kid, that cat gave me the creeps. All that weird, that like three-legged, remember that one cat that walked on his hands or something? I didn't dig any. What the hell was that about, man? You know, I already was having pretty creepy, like, my first acid trip wasn't acid at all. I had a fever when I had the measles. I was already hallucinating. Then they lay that Dr. Seuss on me? I didn't know any kid that liked him. I didn't hear any kid buzzing about Dr. Seuss. I think this is all adults. Oh, Dr. Seuss, the children, really? No, they didn't. It was the adults that were cramming it down our throat, that frightening, surreal vision of that Geisel dude. And what just exactly was his background anyway? Really? South America? Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Oh, you don't want to talk about that. You just want to tell me how wonderful he was and how popular he was with the Cat in the Hat series. Well, guess what? The Israeli Mossad just picked him up outside of Buenos Aires. He's in a glass booth.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, Marilyn Monroe, who died in 1962, tied for seventh with J.R.R. Tolkien, who died in 1973. They both, I like the guy who writes this, they both raked in $8 million. Like they're grubby beyond the grave. You know, like they're just greedy beyond the freaking grave. You know, there's Marilyn Monroe dead, raked it in. Can't keep her hands off a dollar. And then it says here that George Harrison wound up in ninth with, he made $7 million. Johnny Cash has just made the list. Because as you know, you have to be dead. It's kind of like the seniors tour. You know, you got to be 50 to get on the tour. You got to be dead to make this list. Well, Johnny Cash, freshly dead, tied for 10th with $7 million. And Ray Charles came in at number 13. He made himself $6 million after being dead. Now, they got the whole damn list here. Bob Marley, $6 million at number 12. Irving Berlin, boy, that guy's been dead since when? 1841? Irving Berlin made $6 million. Johnny Cash, George J.R.R. Tolkien. Marlon Brando is on the list. That's eight. What does he make? In other words, Marlon Brando's a piece of the movies, right? Who gets this dough? I guess it's the family, right? John Lennon's wife gets all that money. You know, Lennon, when he was alive, he was making $12 million a year. When he was alive. So now it's 2005, he's making 22. I'd say that Yoko's been slowing down a little bit. I think some of those investments, baby, especially those dairy cows in upstate New York. What are you, nuts? This is John Lennon, all right? He's not a dairy farmer. I swear to God, when he died, I heard that she really made a lot of money for that man. And, of course, she took a lot of crap. But the fact is, she had some investments that were pretty spooky. One of them was like she wanted to buy an entire dairy. She wanted to go into like Go-Gurt, and she wanted to sell kefir, and she wanted to have a little circular driveway right there at the Dakota Apartments just to, hey, Yoko, yell, you take the usual, some buttermilk. Okay, bring it right out. John's in the back milking the cow. You know, they wanted to just stretch. I'll tell you what, I'd love to own one of them. I don't know if they have them now, but when I was a kid, boy, this really sounds old, man. But this is a fact. My hometown is Arcadia, California, and that's out there. It's a suburb of Los Angeles. I used to go to the Altadena, my old man would go down to the Altadena Dairy. Altadena's the name of the dairy. Now, you know those drive-up dairies? You ever know those things? You drive up, and there'd be a guy come out. Yep, what can we get you? 2 quarts of milk and some kefir.
You got it, baby.
Right? This place had an actual, there were cows behind it. Freaking cows. And I think they were milking those cows, and that's what we were drinking. There was a cow back there. There were chickens, and the guy would come up, and he'd say, what do you need? Carton of eggs. Hold on for a minute. And you'd hear this. Okay, they're coming. And you're just wondering to yourself. Nowadays, I wouldn't go near anything like that. But if I thought about it, I would dig, you know, if I really gave it some thought and not the cursory thought that I give most projects and then I just kind of get up and go to work, I would like to own a little dairy stand. You know, I'd just be standing there and I'd put on that little white hat, you know, that the guy's had, you know, like the kind of that captain's hat, only it's all white with the white shirt. Hey, how you doing today, Mr. Johnson? Fine, Phil, fine. Can we get some of the strawberry yogurt? You got it. You know, and say hi to the kids. And then I would hear stories, like when I got to high school, there's a friend of mine. Hey, did you hear about Bill? Yeah. You know, he was working up at that dairy up there. Yeah. Well, guess what? What? And then it's probably one of those urban myths, but they found him with one of the cows. You're like, and you figure it's sick until you get to about, well, the age of 25 and you read some of those Larry McMurtry novels. That was standard stuff down in Oklahoma. All right, we're going to take a break here, and oh, my God, who's that? Oh, I'm sorry, it's a member of the NFL. Looked like somebody from Mars. I think it was London Fletcher. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, let's go to Vernon. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, I was listening to your previous comment. Am I on the air right now?
Yes, sir.
I heard your previous comments regarding, I thought it was, you were talking about dairy work?
Yes, sir.
And I heard a comment that you made that I thought was disparaging an individual who worked at a dairy. Is that correct?
No, I wasn't disparaging a guy working at a, do you work at a dairy?
I'm sorry?
Are you working at a dairy?
Why do you ask?
Well, I'm hearing cows.
Well, you're also hearing roosters, and you're also hearing a lamb. Right there, see that?
That's not a lamb, that's a rooster.
Oh, wait a minute. Where's the lamb, Jimmy? I won't bring him out right now. Okay. I know this is not a dairy, this is a petting zoo. But,
at 9:45 at night?
Yeah, we're open late. Jesus. You know, you got a real, problem, don't you?
Well, what did I do, sir, that I upset you? Did I, because I made a reference to that friend of mine who supposedly, who, by the way, he wasn't a friend of mine.
Well, there you go. Try to clean that one up.
Well, no, he wasn't a friend of mine. It was some kid who worked at the dairy, and they said he was doing that with a cow.
Right. They said he was doing that with a cow, and you took that to mean as if that was true, or if it was true, that it was abnormal. And I'm simply trying to tell you, representing the 75,000 petting zoo employees across the United States, and our organization, and we'll be meeting in Reno, Nevada next month, that I think you need to be careful how you speak.
What do you mean the petting zoo employees? Is this an organization?
It's a union, yes, sir.
You cats that work at petting zoos are unionized?
Yes, we are, sir. We are employees like anybody else. But the reference you made to that young man working in a dairy late at night when no one's around and no one can get hurt, as if he's being abnormal.
Well, what are you talking about, man? Bestial sex is normal?
I'm not commenting other than to say, who are you to judge? Now, yeah, it's 10 minutes to 10 o'clock at night. Now, I'm going to be the only guy here until 2 a.m.
Well, how late does a petting zoo have to stay open, man? I mean, why can't you get...
That's none of your beeswax, is it? We'll stay open 24 hours if the demand is there.
I guess what I'm asking is, how much of a freaking demand is there for a 24-hour petting zoo?
You'd be surprised.
A lot of kids?
I guess not.
So what you're telling me is you got a petting zoo that's open 24 hours and it's mostly adult visitors?
Mostly adult visitors, yes.
Male?
Yes. careful.
Be careful with what, man? If you got some kind of an enterprise there where you keep a petting zoo open for 24 hours because you don't like the things I say about a dude at a dairy fooling around with a cow, maybe there's stuff going on at your petting zoo.
Well, the point is, that's for the police to prove, not you. That's number one. Number two, you're very inquisitive. Number three, I'm just saying, please don't make those comments about a guy who's working around a lot of milk bottles and he sees something that he can relate to. It's alive. It's not a milk bottle.
It's got four legs and it's a cow, and he can relate to it, huh?
Well, like I say, Mr. Henry, you want to be judgmental, that's your soul. That's the soul that God will judge, not me.
All right, you know what, man? I'm done. But thank you very much.
Well, wait a minute. I want to say one more thing. Hey, Bob, turn the lights on, okay? And get Bessie ready. I want to say
goodbye. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, this guy that took the ball from Brett Favre yesterday, he's pled innocent to what? I don't know what the charge is, ball theft or something. But he came on the field during the Green Bay Bengal game, and he grabbed the ball. Where was that game? In Cincinnati. And the first security guard to try to get him got leveled, and they finally did grab the guy. Apparently the Packers are down around the 28-yard line in the last minute, and Favre takes a snap, and this guy runs onto the field, so the officials blew the play dead. Guy's name, by the way, is Gregory Gall. And apparently he comes from a long line of retards. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to use that word, but anyway, he comes from a long line of people who are dumb. And so he gets on the field and he approaches Favre from behind. And then he snatched the ball from Favre's throwing hand and ran to the other end of the field with security guards in pursuit. He was finally tackled and taken from the field. The five-minute delay gave the Bengals time to regroup. They sacked Favre on the next play, and the clock ran out, and that's Jay Koch's or Joe K's take. Yeah, that's right, pal. The guy that ran on the field blew the game for the Packers. Will you get a freaking story? Get out of here. Guy's probably writes for the Green Bay Gazette. Their team, you know, Green Bay is in such deep trouble. That's probably the best part of that freaking game, watching that guy grab it. We should have let the guy throw a pass. I'm not saying that Favre is a bad quarterback, and I'm not saying that Green Bay doesn't have good players. What I am saying is, I don't know what I'm saying. What I am saying is this. If Mike Curtis was on the field, he would have taken that guy's head off. All right. You cats don't know the name Mike Curtis, but let me tell you a little story. Mike Curtis was a middle linebacker for the Baltimore Colts. And some fan came on the field one day and grabbed the ball. Now, fans had been doing this, and there's been a long lull between the time this guy grabbed the ball and Mike Curtis was on the field, and there had been a long lull until it kind of picked up again. And the reason why there was a long lull, because in the early 70s, I'd say the late 60s, early 70s, fans would run on the field, grab the ball, run away. Run on the field, grab the ball. This dude ran out on the field, grabbed the ball. Now, Curtis was a guy about 6'3". He was kind of a lightweight Dick Butkus. And Curtis came around with a forearm. As soon as he saw the guy, he came around with a forearm and knocked the freaking guy out. You could still see the guy just laying flat, just flat on his ass, man. If the guy took the ball and Curtis comes around and says, bang! The dude ran right into it. So the guy grabbed the ball and was running toward Curtis, and Curtis just put the forearm up and knocked him out cold. And from that day until, when's the last time? It hasn't, I'd say 25 years. From that day, for 25 years, nobody dared do it. Now they're starting to get the guts again. And I say another couple of times, some guy will get his head taken clean off, as my main man Clint would say. It'll take a while, but you watch. And then he'll sue. He'll go out onto the field, take the ball. Some linebacker will take all of the guy's teeth clean out of his head by way of the back of his head, and then he'll sue the team for having his face realigned. And then the team can countersue and say, I think you look better. And the judge will go, you know what? You're right. He does. Sorry. Case dismissed and thrown out. And a guy will walk out of there with the nose all to the side saying,
well, I gave him a pretty good shot. Thanks a lot. I'm still a Packer fan.
right, don't forget, on the 11th, it's our webcast. Go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, to get a little bit more information about our big webcast. That's November the 11th. Watch how the show is done. See behind the scenes how this program is executed. And don't forget to get your backstage pass when you do that. Otherwise, you're some kind of a freak, man. Also, it gives you access to all of our comedy archives and like that, man. See, we're going to do a table read, and our first scheduled shooting, actually, of Teachers, the TV show on NBC, will be on the 18th, I think. So look for it, baby, as a mid-season coming up on NBC. Teachers, starring, I'm just seeing if I can make it number one just by talking about it a lot. What do you think? I don't know. Sarah Alexander, Justin Bartha, me, Matt Winston, the great Khali Rocha, the great Dion Richmond, and now Sarah Shahi. Oh, yeah. Check her out, man, on our homepage. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.